Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Paul, this week discussing, well, he loves discussing tax law and estate planning, and he's not real excited, though, about some changes to IRA law called the Secure Act. Part two on the Secure Act.
That's right.
They're trying to secure more of your tax money.
That's right. It's poorly labeled. They think that it was securing you, but really it's securing the government, and that's always a bad deal for Americans. And so it is an unfortunate law that has adjusted how a beneficiary would receive an IRA. And for the most part, at least most individuals have somewhat of an IRA. Some people have smaller amounts that you're going to be using. Others have very sizable IRAs. And many out there who may be listening to this show still contribute to an IRA. And one thing I want to lead the show with today is that the old mentality, so we've been dealing with IRAs for 30 plus years now, and there is a mentality that IRAs are the bread and butter of your future, and that you should put money into an IRA. And what I'm going to say may ruffle some feathers, but I am telling you that we must eliminate the old mentality and we must rethink how we contribute to IRAs during our lifetime and also how much of an IRA that we remove from, distribute from an IRA to ourselves. Everything has been talked about of saving taxes. Well, that may not be in your beneficiary's best interest. So if you have the thought process that I want to make sure that my estate is passed to my beneficiaries in the most tax-advantaged, fluid way that would benefit who I am leaving things to, then we need to have a complete different mindset shift to accomplish an estate plan with an IRA. And that may mean that we have to shift our current thinking on IRAs. And so,
and you're just talking about a regular tax-deferred IRA, yep, not the Roth IRA.
That's correct. So, well, and actually, yes, rethinking how and where we put money would include a Roth IRA in this mentality shift.
Okay.
And so, so we have concentrated a ton on saving taxes or minimizing taxes during our lifetime and minimizing taxes in retirement, because it used to be that we could pass an IRA and there was a very strong taxable structure that benefited the beneficiary. That has been eliminated. We'll get to that. And so we need to start looking at income tax maximization during lifetime in order to set up generations. So if you have the thought process, again, how do I create an estate plan that will take care of me, but also not burden or not overtax the next generation when I'm gone, then we need to throw away the old mentality, which is put everything into an IRA and just keep plugging it in and we'll deal with it at the end. We can no longer do that. We must be more strategic out of the gate.
Okay.
So with IRAs, so let's get into it. We discussed last show, and you really need to get over to and listen to the foundational episode that we did last week. So head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. All of our podcasts are listed there. And we talked about what an IRA is. How does it get taxed? What are some of the new legal changes currently that people need to be aware of when you have an IRA? And then we just kind of set up this show, which is what happens when I die and my financial portfolio has an IRA. So we're not talking about Roth IRAs today in this discussion. We are talking only about a traditional IRA, 401k, 403b, an account that you have taken pre-tax money and held it so that it could grow as pre-tax, but when you take it out as a required minimum distribution, you get taxed on it. So that is the account that we are talking about in today's show. How does that transfer when someone passes away? Well, let's review where we were last year. What happened previously when someone passed away is that a beneficiary could take their account, the IRA portion, and do one of two things. They could either A, cash it all out, in other words, liquidate it all, put it in, take all the cash and simply put it into an account. Although they didn't put it into an account, they just spent it. So, and what happens is that however much you had, that would be added as income. So I gave the example last week and I'll stay with it, that if a beneficiary earns $50,000 and they received a $50,000 IRA, if they cashed that IRA out, they would have to report that entire IRA as income, meaning in that year, they would now have $100,000 of income. And what they did is they ratcheted up their tax burden. They jumped tax brackets and they caused a huge taxable income for that year. So the other option then is when you receive an IRA is to actually keep it in an inherited IRA. And now we are under the rules of an inherited IRA. So if you kept an account of an IRA, then new rules are applicable. Number one, instead of a stretch out, a lifetime stretch out, we now are required to cash out that IRA within 10 years. So what's a lifetime stretch out? It used to be that the old law said that if you look at an IRS table of how long your life expectancy is to be, that you could take a percentage of your inherited IRA over the course of the rest of your life. So if someone who is 50 inherited an IRA, they would have a life expectancy most of the time, and this is an approximation, until 85. That means that that 50-year-old has 35 years of taking distributions. So very much like how we have to calculate a distribution now if you're alive, which is we use a mathematical formula based upon how much is in the IRA based upon your age, and it spits out you are required to take this much money. Well, the benefit of that is that if a beneficiary who was frugal and financially responsible saved that money as an IRA and they only took the minimal amounts that were required by the mathematical formula, the IRA would remain invested. And over the course of the 30 years, that would dramatically increase the value. So in other words, the value would increase far more than what the requirements were as far as taking it. And you were only taxed on the amount you took. And so therefore, it was a very nice setup, and it was actually a beautiful way specifically for grandkids to receive this and take very small amounts and let it grow for the rest of their life. We could set up grandchildren for an entire lifetime of financial security. Well, that has now been taken away by the IRS. Because remember from our last show, the IRS has determined that they are going to make a legal change and they can make it on a dime. They made it within 10 days last year. And so therefore, the new law has taken effect as of January 1st. And now, if anyone dies on January 1st of this year or later, these new rules apply, which are that you must take your IRA, the inherited IRA, you must liquidate it in its entirety within 10 years. So we no longer get the option of allowing that to grow over our lifetime as a beneficiary. Rather, we only have 10 years.
And no matter how large that IRA is.
It does not matter, which is why.
It could be a $10,000 IRA. It could be $500,000.
Yeah. That's right, which is why at the very beginning here, I said it is time to have a mentality shift of income leveraging versus just simply socking away money in an IRA. Because we could be passing on an a catastrophic tax burden to the next generation. So let's now talk about that same $50,000 inherited IRA. On smaller amounts, this new law really doesn't harm us as much, because in smaller amounts, a beneficiary will probably use that over the course of a couple of years, to be honest. So if someone was to inherit $50,000, the chances are that they are literally going to cash it out. They're going to pay the tax in the first year. Maybe they will take someone's advice and they will cash part of it out in this year and part of it out in next year, or maybe in 3 years. But in a very, very short period of time, that IRA is going to be liquidated. The money is going to be spent and it's going to be gone. So for smaller IRAs that we receive as an inheritance, this new law really doesn't change much, because most beneficiaries don't get really strong legal and financial advice, and they would have just cashed it out anyways. And for many people, it doesn't harm that we have one bad tax year. Yeah, it's a bummer, but it's not really catastrophic. So we're going to shift now to what happens if somebody has, we're going to add a zero to this. And what if they have a $500,000 IRA inheritance? Now we are really talking that there is a big difference. Look, the first strategy that we would look at is, how much does a beneficiary earn? And we would be talking to a beneficiary about taking the 10 years and simply taking 1/10 of the IRA each and every year, so that we stretch out the income burden throughout the entire 10 years. Well, if we did have a $500,000 IRA that we inherited, then that's $50,000 a year. But that's added on top of whatever they earn. So again, if you have $50,000, that's a pretty standard. And actually, in this area, it's a rather small income. Most incomes are now between $50,000 and $100,000. And with some of the high-tech jobs, I have beneficiaries who are making $200,000 and $300,000 and $400,000 a year. And so they're already in a very high tax bracket. And really, we need to start looking at what is the tax bracket of a beneficiary and how are they going to inherit it. Now, I know, I understand that there might be a mentality out there that says, you know what, it's a free gift, and if they lose a portion of this to taxes, so be it. But really, is you set up an IRA for tax advantages to ensure the safety of your lifetime. So you're telling me you're going to throw away your entire mentality and just say, forget it, pay the tax and just let the beneficiary deal with it. You know, I don't believe that a majority of us have that mentality. There are a few of you out there. And if you are of that mentality, please do not call me. But if you are not, then we need to have a discussion. We need to look at an overall estate plan of what does it mean to pass an IRA as a part of our estate to the next generation. We always have educational seminars that are coming up soon. Now, we just had one recently, but we got to get over to legacyandfaith.com for our upcoming educational sessions. We talk about these things at these educational sessions. How do we move assets? How do we manage an entire estate and get them to fluidly move within the estate plan? So again, head over to legacyandfaith.com. We need to get you this important information with what's coming up with these educational sessions. So again, head over to legacyandfaith.com and sign up for our upcoming sessions for more information on that.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswworthtelling.com.
This is Paul Graham from the Legacy and Faith Show, and I want to let you know that we have a new educational seminar, The Truth About Estate Planning with a Biblical Perspective, coming up on July 22nd at 6 p.m. So head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, to sign up for that educational interactive session, July 22nd at 6 p.m.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Graham, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, a very informative discussion this week with Paul Grant about the SECURE Act, the changes it has wrought on the tax-deferred IRA kind of savings plan and how that affects beneficiaries. And Paul, are you saying we should no longer use an IRA anymore, or what are you saying?
So, very good question, and that answer is unequivocally, absolutely not what I'm saying.
All right.
We, IRAs, traditional IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, Roth IRAs, they're absolutely a strong and necessary part of your financial future, and they must be a part of your portfolio. What I am saying is that at a certain level, there may be, we may need to have the discussion of how much is enough that you have secured your financial future. And so is it better to continue to put into the IRA, or is it better now to start building a different part of your financial portfolio in consideration of how the estate as a whole is going to operate should you pass away? So, there may be some competing views. Financial advisors may say, no, I need to have a little bit more to ensure your financial security over the course of your lifetime. Well, that's a very important voice, and a voice that I would actually prefer to be in the conversation. I am not leading you away or in a different direction than what your advisor is suggesting to you. But I am saying it would be really great if we could all have the conversation as a collective group and work together for your best interest, both today's financial security and for the estate purposes for the future generations, that most people would really, really like to leave a strong inheritance that works for their beneficiaries long term. And so, thank you for asking that clarifying question. IRAs are a critical part of our financial future and should be a part of our financial plan.
Are you more of a fan then of the Roth IRA?
So Roth IRAs, as they exist today, are for estate planning purposes, are a very, very strong instrument. So yes, as a matter of fact, that is one thing that many financial advisors, if you have a financial advisor, has probably already begun to speak to you about, which is maybe we should shift a little more to a Roth IRA. Or if you are already taking your required minimum distributions because you're over 70 and a half, then, which by the way, has now changed to 72. But if you're at an age to where you're taking your RMDs, then doing Roth conversions, in other words, paying the tax today, converting that into a bucket that is going to grow tax-free, is a phenomenal opportunity. And so absolutely, Roth IRAs should be a larger part of the discussion than maybe what they have been in the past. But A good financial advisor will already begin talking about these things. A good estate planning attorney will already start talking about these things. And we want to work collectively as a team to ensure your current financial stability and your family's inheritance's stability.
And that's really the focus of these shows. It's not so much what's going on in your lifetime. It's how you're passing on an IRA.
Yes, without sacrificing anything for today. So, so there is no way that I would ever try to put a plan in place that would sacrifice somebody's today just to create a better plan for the next generation. Not unless I was very specifically told that I have enough. So there is a very, very fine-tuned balance. Again, we need other voices, your CPA, your financial advisor, an estate planner. These individuals should be communicating and working as a group, working as a team collectively for your best interest. If that is not what you are experiencing, then you need to shift your team. And so, of course, we would love to be a part of that team because that's what we do all the time. We work intimately with all of your advisors to ensure not just what is going to happen in the estate plan, but to not sacrifice what is necessary for you today. So, and how do we do that? Well, part of it is our educational programs. We talked about it here. I'm going to, again, give another plug towards our educational session coming up. It's Tuesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. Head over to legacyandfaith.com, find out more information. But we got to get good information about these changes and how they influence your estate and how we should be potentially managing and adjusting things today to achieve your long-term family goals. So it's about looking at everything holistically and as a group instead of in a bubble about yourself only.
Well, is everybody going to be subject to this new 10-year rule then? Every beneficiary, they've got to completely distribute that IRA in 10 years?
So there are a few exceptions to that. And there's five major exceptions. Number one is a spouse. And I'm going to go through these quickly because we don't have a lot of time left in today's show, but I want to get them out. Number one is that the spousal rules really have not changed, which is a spouse can roll over, which means if I am the first beneficiary or if a IRA comes from my spouse to me, I can roll that over. In other words, put it in my own Social Security number, keep it as my IRA, and then when I am required to take distributions, it's added as a part of my amount. So that is not an inherited IRA. That is a rollover from spouse to spouse.
Okay.
Now, a spouse can also take an inherited IRA, and there could be strategic reasons why we would want to do that. In other words, start the RMDs, and they would not be under the 10-year rule. They would be under the lifetime rule if a spouse takes it as an inherited IRA. So they would be under the old rule, lifetime stretch out if you take it as a spouse.
Okay.
Another one is a minor child. A minor child then has to take very small RMDs during their lifetime. But when they hit 18, then all of that falls off. And at the age of 18, the 10-year rule starts.
Okay.
And so they must liquidate it in its entirety by the time that child turns 28. So a minor child does not have to begin the 10-year clock when they inherit an IRA.
If they're a minor when
they
inherit.
If they're a minor. At the age of when the account holder dies. So if they're 17, they take a very, very small portion at the age of 17. But at the age of 18, that 10-year clock runs and they can no longer keep it as an IRA past the age of 28. So that's another exception.
Hmm.
Disabled beneficiary. So if you have a special needs child, we can also keep an inherited IRA for someone who is special needs under the old stretch out lifetime rules that the 10-year clock will not begin. But with that rule, you have to be deemed permanently disabled at the time that the account holder has died. So otherwise, the 10-year clock has started. And once the 10-year clock starts, you cannot stop it. So therefore, if you have a special needs child, well, we really need to do good planning because now there's income coming. So we have to make sure that we have the proper type of trust set up for special needs beneficiaries. Chronically ill, same thing. If you are determined to be chronically ill, in other words, it is likely that you will not recover from your current sickness or disease, then you will not be under the 10-year rule. You can use the stretch-out rules, but you have to be determined to be critically ill at the time that the account holder dies. So if you become chronically ill in year 5, we cannot turn off the 10-year clock. It will remain as a 10-year clock. And then if you are 10 years or younger, you can also use a stretch out. So my little brother is 3 years younger than me. Well, I could leave him as my beneficiary. And then because he is less than 10 years younger, he could use his lifetime stretch out and use the IRA for that. So those are some exceptions. But for the most part, we have a 10-year rule. It sets up a horrible tax burden to the next generation. But with good estate planning, we can actually counter that. We always have educational seminars that are coming up soon. Now, we just had one recently, but we got to get over to legacyandfaith.com for our upcoming educational sessions. We talk about these things at these educational sessions. How do we move assets? How do we manage an entire estate and get them to fluidly move within the estate plan? So again, head over to legacyandfaith.com. We need to get you this important information with what's coming up with these educational sessions. So again, head over to legacyandfaith.com and sign up for our upcoming sessions.
Okay, always great information with Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney, Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.